Good morning. I believe we can do a little better. That was good, but not good enough. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. I want to begin this morning with a couple of requests for prayer, and we'll pray in just a moment together about these things. Let me update you on Susie Robbins. Susie and I had a nice visit and conversation for a while about serious things last night over at the hospital there at the old Baptist Hospital where she is now at St. Thomas Midtown, they call it now. She's not well, has not been for a little while, and we've been keeping you updated on that. The family knows this. She knows this. She's quite aware of her current situation or medical status and prognosis. She wants you to know how important you are to her. She wants you to know how much she appreciates those acts of kindness and those prayers, those cards, and not just those things that she has received specifically or herself directly, but even those things that have been done for her family, for Doug and for the kids, and I know that they would want to echo that same thing. So I bring you her greetings and specifically her love, she thanks you and she loves you, and we want to pass that along, and we'll pray as well for her in just a moment. I want to let you know also, Greg Morgan is a friend of Jack and Linda Osteen. Greg has a mass in his neck. He is going for tests tomorrow and requests prayers from as many as possible and from this congregation. We'll try to keep you posted on the results from his test tomorrow. Again, this is Greg Morgan. If you would add him to your list as well for what takes place there. As always, there are many that we know about and many that we may not know about as well, but the Lord knows who they are and their needs. Let's bow on behalf of these and others. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the blessing of it and the opportunity of it. Father, today especially, we thank you that we pause and reflect and are able to, as your people and collectively, honor something that you honor. Honor motherhood and honor it in its godly fashion and intent. We thank you for it, and we thank you for those that we call our mothers. Father, we thank you for godly mothers. We thank you for the impact they have on faith, for the impact they have on the Lord's kingdom, past, present, and will in the future. We thank you for their examples and for their words and the fact that we can still hear those even if they're no longer with us. We thank you for their tireless and selfless efforts on our behalf in a physical need and in a spiritual one. And we ask you to bless our moms today. Father, we have mentioned one of our mothers in particular, Miss Susie. We're thankful for her. We know that we don't pray to inform you of anything, for you are there and you have been aware. We're grateful for that. We're mindful that her well-being, her comfort and her peace is not dependent upon what we know or could do. But we do ask you to bless her. We do bring her before your throne. We're thankful that you love her. We know that you know her, that you have been with her every breath that she has taken in every step of the way. We're thankful for the way that Doug has been a husband to her and the way that he has loved her and the way that the family has rallied together and the picture that they have presented of family during her and through her illness. We ask you to bless all of them. Bless those that are taking care of her in any way and for the decisions that they make. Father, for Greg and those that will be administering tests for him tomorrow, we ask a special blessing as well. We pray for those that are interpreting tests and making decisions, for those that love him, for those that wait, that you will give them a special measure of comfort during this process. Father, we thank you today for the announcement that has been made thank you for Bubba and for Barb and for their family. We thank you for his energy. We thank you for his interest. We thank you for his labor behind the scenes. We're grateful for what he brings to this congregation. Please bless them moving forward. Bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we are going to look a little bit at what I would presume to call looking at Jesus through his mother's eyes. This is a mother that had to deal with things and was blessed in a way that none in this room could possibly know. And we're going to try, at least briefly, for a portion of our time today, look at Jesus through the eyes of his mother. Well, there we go. I just put yep at the top. Moms in the room that have sent someone off to school, raise your hand. Yep, there's a bunch. There have been in the past and there will be in the future. And am I right, moms? I know I am because I asked my wife and my mother. And that's right. This is a mom, or this is a child through a mom's eyes. Can't get away from that. He's that to me. That's his status. That's his need. That's his dependence. That's his maturity. That's his innocence, and so on. That's through his mom's eyes. I've always loved that picture. And a mother will always see her children in certain ways, whether anybody else does or not, and maybe that's one of the ways. Yep. Whether it's that, we got a whoa over here just a second ago. We got a whoa. Or whether it's a little further down the line, I want you to note the hard-to-spot waistline on the father back then. Or whether it's that stage of life, you still view them sometimes like that, don't you? To you. Or whether it's this, and you're so proud. And then there's a thing called the last lunch. Some of you saw this sometime back. It was a year ago exactly, this week. Jana posted that on Facebook, took that picture and posted it on Facebook. And then she put something underneath that, wrote something underneath that, and many of you saw that and liked that and commented on it when we were here with you. She said, "Is it just a brown bag?" Heavens no. This brown bag used to be a Batman lunchbox. Once was Star Wars, then camo, then had initials on it. Boys don't like that at any age, the initials on it. This brown bag was filled with good and bad mornings, conversations and hugs and kisses. I'll never, and that's in all caps, regret making my boys their lunches and spending that morning time with them. This is my last brown bag lunch. And she's got RIP with a frowny face. But then she picks herself back up with a hashtag, so to speak, even though it's Facebook, no more grilled cheese at 6:45. Do you remember, moms? And so that's what we attack today, hopefully from a spiritual perspective. That's the feeling. That's the idea. That's the love. That's the depth. That's the time, that's the eternity. When your son is 18, you realize what a privilege it is to be his mom and how you have loved watching him grow up. And although your heart is sad, it is also very excited for what is to come. But most of all, you fall to your knees and thank God for trusting you with this amazing gift, knowing all along your job is to one day let him go and watch him soar. Yep. But this was a pregnancy like none other. Every mother in the room that can identify with that and with the photo or types of time periods of life that I gave samples of and identify with that can't say this. This was a pregnancy like none other. Jesus through the eyes of his mom. Let me give you one example of something that Mary could say that there's not a mother in the room that can honestly say. Oh, a time here and a time there, but not all the time. I know that you are tempted to say it's not his fault or her fault. Oh, it couldn't be my child's fault. You might be right sometimes, but you can't say that all the time. And we need to own that and adopt that and understand that. But she could. The only mother in the history of the world that could say this and be right every single time. Pregnancy like none other. Could you imagine? Hardly. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I want you to remember that under this phrase I asked a moment ago. Can you imagine? God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That is indeed a pregnancy like none other. Now to Matthew chapter 2, and this is where Jason had our reading just a moment ago, but to reiterate, now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child, his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. This is a pregnancy and now a motherhood like none other. The leader of your world is searching to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Every mother in this room shares a lot of the same things we've already reviewed. Categorically speaking, you've been there in every place or time or will be in your future. But not like this. There's not a mother in the room that's had this. Dealing with the overwhelming attention, the overwhelming attraction. I mean, can you imagine? The closest thing we have to compare to this is what it must have been like to have been Eddie Graves' mom. To to deal with the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, to deal with Simeon and Anna with the presentation at the temple, Luke chapter 2 as well, the visit of the Magi on the return to Jerusalem, Matthew 2, flight to Egypt that we just read about, Matthew 2, the return to Nazareth and the long years of waiting for His purpose to be specifically and openly and marvelously revealed, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wait, wait, wait. And then watching Him go too hard, too long, wondering how or why He was so resolute or able to be in the face of that. Sweetheart, don't you need to get away and rest a little more? I don't like you being around those people. I'm not sure that they don't plot to do you harm and having to watch that and deal with that. Dealing with the overwhelming attention and the purpose like no mother here. She did it, I think, based on what we can read in Luke chapter 1. I do not... will not display that, but if you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 1 and follow along beginning in the 26th verse. This is how I believe, when we get down to the end of this reading, we'll find the way in which she could do this like none other. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Did you hear that from verse 28? Regardless of your translation, you're going to get something like that, and you're going to get this word in most: favored, highly favored. Oh, so she hears that she is highly favored. Sometimes when we believe someone has highly favored us, we are prone to attempt to take advantage of that to our liking and to our comfort, rather in the willingness to be uncomfortable and face difficult times. She did not, though she was favored. Verse 29, but she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." There it is again. He reiterates to her, "You are favored of and by God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So I'm favored, and my son will be of the Most High." Boy, if Satan couldn't use that as a temptation to kind of want things like you want them. After all, I'm favored, and he is high. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So now he's going to have a kingdom. What a temptation that could be. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And here it is in verse 38. I think verse 37 and 38, I just read you verse 37, I think 37 and 38 are the reason Mary could do what might have seemed so insurmountable to most motherhood. For nothing will be impossible with God. She never forgot those words. And then listen to her words. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. I believe that's how Mary and why Mary could go through a motherhood like none other. A motherhood with issues and challenges and uncertainties and amazement like none in this room and like none other the world could ever know. Because she had an attitude that believed what was said first by the angel revealed to her, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then you heard her own words when she said, be it done unto me according to your will. And that was never more played out for a mom than at the foot of the cross. That was never more played out than at the foot of the cross. Be it done unto me, even. As his mother who would know it's not his fault. As the only mother that could ever utter those words and be right every single time, no matter what. That mother, with that innocence, able to say, and endure, be it done according to thy word. I'm reminded of Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the story of Hannah and the birth to Samuel, and then Hannah's song in chapter 3. Go back and look at that. I admonish you all to do that, moms especially. Go back and look at that, and go back and look at the blessing and why she received the blessing, and go back and look at her pledge because she was blessed by God with child. Go back and look what she thought that should mean. And go back and what she believed. And this is what God knows. This is, I believe, why God blessed her. It's because I believe He absolutely knew what her commitment would be if she would be blessed with that son. Go back and look at that and ask the question, ladies, what does this mean for me? Because if you'll give me that, if you'll give me that, I will make sure he is dedicated, trained, and stays with you. Because when I love beyond measure, beyond words, that which I can't even put into words, this blessing more than anything else I could know in my life, that which I could never have, that which I am granted, the best thing I can do with that which I love the most is give him over, her over, to the service of the Lord. Ladies, can I tell you? Guys, can I remind you, because you play a part in this as well? Can I remind you, if you're attempting to give that every blessing that you believe is good and right and those things that you want for them, and this is not your priority, you do not have the love of Hannah. If this is not your desire for your child, you do not have the love your child needs. And Hannah stands as our greatest example. Truths. As much as a mom loves her child, she does not and could not love him more than God. Moms, you must believe that. Your child cannot be blessed as the Lord wants him or her to be blessed, and as deep down you would like to see him or her blessed, You must believe this for this to take place in your home. You do not love your child more than God Himself. Can you imagine that? That's hard to imagine, isn't it? That's hard for moms, that's hard for dads to imagine that. But you need to more than imagine it, you need to believe it because it's so. Because there's a love we cannot reach. There's a love we cannot understand. There's a love we have never experienced except in the fact that I am His child. No matter how much I could not, she could not love more than God. As she loves both Him and God, she must do what these two that we've looked at this morning did. If she loves both Him and God, she must do what Mary, and she must say what Mary said. And she must pray as Hannah prayed. And she must send as Hannah sent. And she must sing as Hannah sung, in honor and full expectation of what's most and what's best. Like Mary, know the utmost privilege is to carry a child that will do God's purpose. That's why Mary could say that. The utmost blessing in your life as a mother. Guys, you've got a responsibility to lead this thought process in your home. That's given to you. You cannot shirk it. You can't say, well, our children have a godly mother and that's good enough. You're wrong, because Scripture says you're wrong. That's given to you. You have a responsibility to understand and encourage and thank and support through this idea and this effort. Like Mary, know the utmost privilege is to carry a child that will do God's purpose. And like Hannah, know that there is no greater love than to have led him in that direction. That is what Mary understood. That is what Hannah was singing about in chapter 3. So we thank God. Let me back up on that. Let me read you something. Ran across this. The day came when Mary felt that Jesus was overtired and she wanted to take him home for a rest. Jesus instead went on his way to the cross, and Mary could only watch and follow him as she stood by the cross with a sword through her heart, as Simeon had said would be the case. In that moment, Jesus spoke tenderly to his mother as he died and commended her to the care of the beloved disciple who took her from the cross to his home. But Mary had the vindication in the resurrection of Jesus, and she met in the upper room with the disciples when they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. If ever a woman had such high and holy secrets in her life, it was Mary. She carried herself in a worthy way as the chief mother in the human race. And for that worthiness, for that intention and that prayer and that statement, be it done unto me according to your word, we are thankful. Not just for motherhood, but we're thankful for that example. We thank God. Thank you for the nurture and the love that is motherhood. The only thing we can even consider that moves us toward a picture of your love for us. We thank God in that way, because it's the only thing that we've got to at least move us in a direction about His love and the depth. We thank God for the mothers of our children, and especially for the godly mothers. And I had to put a personal spin on the day because it is Mother's Day for me and for my sons. It's a special Sunday, but it's a special Sunday for another reason. It's a special Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. Do we need to reiterate that again as we occasionally do? I know I do, and I'm going to keep doing it. This Sunday is the Lord's Day. Its most special nature does not come because of being Mother's Day. We said the same thing on what the world refers to as Easter Sunday, that we were going to meet the next week, and the next week, and the next week, because we know that's what the church was called to do. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be hard to beat for any mother in the room. Even a mother that's gone on to her reward. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's what the apostle said. And that would be true every time we close. We offer what we call the invitation because there's no greater joy in heaven, and there's no greater joy on earth, and there's no greater blessing for you, for mom, and for all eternity than to say, I want to walk in the truth. What a Mother's Day it might be for many around the world for that response today. If you need to respond for the forgiveness, the complete removal for all time of all of your past sin, to be brought into the family of God for the first time, to be able to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy rest, to be able to receive the power of God's Holy Spirit to help you live it, to be placed in a body to help you walk it. It'd be the best thing a child could see out of his mom. It'd be the best thing a child could see out of his dad. Be it done unto me, no longer according to my will, but according to yours. If you have any need to respond, we'll be here to receive you. While together we stand and sing.